The first Noel, the angels did say. How many of you have heard that message from the angels? How many of that has affected us today, even though it came all these years ago? A few weeks ago, we spoke about the shepherds, those unlikely first Christmas missionaries who spread this amazing word concerning what had been told to them about the God child. Not only did those shepherds go and see, but they told. Did you hear that? Didn't just see, but they told. They sought God, and God proved his word to be absolutely true. They spread the good news. They spread the word. And they began in doing so to spread the Christmas cheer. Now, I worry about some believers who are not spreading the Christmas cheer. They are just like the secular world out there. They look grumpy and moany and complainy. And they're not bringing the good news, the Christmas cheer. Here's the thing. At Moss Vale, we can't talk for other churches. At Moss Vale, we want to be a cheerful, God-centered, Holy Spirit-inspired, bought by the blood of Jesus, filled people of God who really understand what it is to be a child of God. And if you understand what it is to be a child of God, you cannot help but be cheerful. So crack that thing in your face called your mouth and make it smile. Force it. Force it out there. It'll come as you go. But these guys back there, they began to, see, this is what happens. They began to light up lives. Do you know you have the capacity as a hope carrier in the kingdom of God to light up the lives of other people right this very day? You have the most wonderful message that we could ever possibly share. Share with all who will hear it. And listen, when they hear it come from you, and it is authentic, and it is real, they will gasp in amazement. Can this be true? When the shepherds were changed in that moment, people understood something had happened to them and they believed what the shepherds had said. Now here's the thing that's interested me this week. Christmas cards have interested me this week, and I'll tell you why Christmas cards have interested me this week. Because I was in a Christmas, no I wasn't, I was in a card shop this week wanting to send a card that I wanted to convey Jesus. This wasn't so hard a few years ago. It doesn't matter what card shop you were in. Christmas card has now become massively something on the decline. Big on the decline. Ever since we began to go online in the late 90s, hey, and people started using those incredible websites where you email a greeting and some carol is played in the background and animated snow is falling. And I'm not knocking that. There are many reasons why we don't do the Christmas card thing. The cost of postage and packaging has gone up. People, hey, are saying we no longer have time to write. We're 50 cards. Some may think it's a waste of paper. Maybe we don't know some people's home addresses, but you probably, listen, you're probably friends with hundreds of people on social media, and that the people that you would have kept in touch with, let's say, on that once a year moment with a card, you probably know what they had for dinner last night. Sadly, what used to be the largest card sending occasion is fading. Things have drastically changed in the announcing of warm wishes for the season of the Savior's birth. Dramatically changed. And because even more sadly, the message of these Christmas cards has changed. Even, or should I say, each year, Hallmark alone provides 2,200 Christmas card designs. And yet we're now finding that up to 85% of them fail to communicate what Christmas is actually about. God forgive us forgive us what we have become. So I popped into this Christmas card shop to do my research. Gary, you wouldn't believe it. I went through 20 cards and found one that was acceptable, that would convey the season of Christmas. One card, I didn't look any further. I was becoming so disillusioned in the card shop. I was getting to that place. Gail knows this. If I see things in shops that offend me or offend the gospel, I tend to say something. So I had to remove myself from the card shop for fear of being arrested or jettisoned for preaching the gospel in the shop. So I just took myself out the equation. I'll take Pastor Debbie with me next time we'll both get arrested. Numbers matter. You didn't know that, Debbie, but we're going next week. You see, you could get a beautiful Christmas card. Watch this. And still, if it has not announced the real meaning of Christmas, then someone has come up very short of sending the absolute best to you and I. Christmas is about Christ. He cannot be removed. He cannot be erased. He cannot be taken out of the equation. He is the Christmas, his name is in it. And so the best Christmas announcement is the one that reminds you and I, every one of us, of that first Christmas announcement on the night that Jesus Christ was born. Amen. That's the announcement. The original Christmas announcement was sent by God, delivered by his angel. And I wonder, can we ensure that we are sending that same announcement to our friends and loved ones this Christmas? Let's make sure we are not sending out a watered down announcement. Let's make sure we're crystal clear on what we are saying. And I want us this morning to be challenged and even perhaps changed by God's word and understanding that we are not only to be the shepherds spreading all the wonderful Christmas cheer, but today we are also to be the angel. Now I know most of you are not angels. I missed that, but praise God. Listen to this. What do I mean to say we are to be the angel or an angel? The answer is simple. This is simple gospel stuff. You and I ought to be doing the same things that the angel did in that very first Christmas announcement. The very same thing. The angelic proclamation went like this, calmed fear. I'll just say that again. It calmed fear. And it brought hope. And one other thing it did, it invited them to worship. It calmed fear. It brought hope. And it invited them to the place of worship. The best Christmas announcement we could give anyone this year would be nothing less than this. To calm fears, to bring hopes, and invite others to come and see a man and worship Jesus. Now come with me quickly to Luke chapter 2. I want to read this scripture one more time this year. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Amen. We can notice right at the start for this Christmas proclamation, there was a message that many of us need to hear today of calming fear. The angel's announcement had to start immediately with an attempt to calm the fear of those who were the recipients of God's message. The angel said in verse 10, "Fear not, do not be afraid. Put away all fear." You see, is there a need? I wonder, let me ask the question then. Is there a need for calming fear in people's lives today? Definitely. Absolutely. Every single week I receive texts or speak to people who say, "Pastor, I'm really worried. I am feeling anxious. I'm afraid that," and we go on from there. So as much as I wish this wasn't the case, the truth is that we live in a world where people are fearing many, many things. What are we fearing today? We worry about health more than anything else going on in the world right now. We worry about where it's safe to go. We worry about every breath that is breathed, every touch is stressing some people out today. We worry about the statistics, the news bulletins, who we can trust for the correct information. So we worry, 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 and fear invades our lives. Some fear is for personal safety. We lock our doors at night, and rightly so. And sadly, many people today fear that their basic needs of life might go unmet, and for many, they aren't. Will I be cold or warm? Will I go hungry or be fed? Will I be able to buy everything that I need? You see, today, people fear over many, many things. And I am not knocking today, neither am I belittling those fears, but I'm praying alongside every one of you regarding the fears, stresses, and anxieties that you may be experiencing in your life today. But the concern that many never fear ought to be, ought to be the biggest concern of all, and one that is easily resolved. The greatest concern of all people, every man, woman, and child, should be the need of promised salvation. To be saved. That everyone would have the blessed assurance of knowing that Jesus is mine. Is he yours? I'll tell you, he's mine. But you can have him also. But he's mine. But we can share him. If you want to know Jesus, this is where you discover who Jesus is. So listen, we can have this blessed assurance of knowing that no matter what happens in this life, we need not fear what happens next. No way, sir. So how do you and I today claim that sort of blessed assurance? Well, we heard it last week. It's simple. By placing our trust completely in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made a way for everyone, even when their time on earth is done. Hallelujah. See, to all who have followed after Christ, I pray you have. We must consistently be the messengers of Jesus Christ today who can help people overcome and calm their fears. We must today be making an announcement to others that where Christ is existing and at work in a person's life, that there is meaning and purpose and a sense of calm that replaces all fear. Having Christ brings calm to the chaos. It brings calm to the calamity of life that we all desperately need today. We have heard this next scripture echoed time and time again over the last couple of years. 2 Timothy speaks loud and clear to acknowledge that believers, those who know Christ in their life, need not be timid or full of fear. For we are reminded in scripture, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives power, love, and self-discipline. Amen. See, the reason we can be God's messengers, helping to calm people's fears is because of the message that we have been given to share with other people. This is the only message that gives complete and total hope. Everyone say hope. Every one of us need hope for today and hope for tomorrow. Think with me about the announcement here that creates hope. What is the message that you are sending out today? What is the message that is emanating from your life? What is the message when people look at you, they see? What are the things you're saying over a table having a cup of coffee? What is it that you're conveying to people today? What is it? What is it? Ask yourself that question. Because if it's not the message of the gospel and it's not the message of hope, then we're sending out the wrong message. God has put something in our hearts that should excite us every moment of every day. He has put a word in our spirit that cannot be shut up. And if you really live for Jesus Christ and the Spirit of the Lord is on you, this word cannot be stopped. It's like fire, Scripture says. It's like fire shut up in your bones. It's got to come out of you. It can't stay within you or it will drown you. It will suffocate you. This word has to come out. It has to be spoken. Why? Because the word of the Lord brings life. And if we don't share the word of God, you know what? We die. Because we keep it to ourselves and we rob other people of the blessing of the Lord. So this word was put in us, birthed by the Holy Spirit, to come out of us. So we could share this wonderful, wonderful gospel message with everyone that we know. So what is your message? What is your announcement as you communicate to other people all around you? I wonder today, are you like that angel who brought the original Christmas announcement? Are you creating hope in other people's lives with the message that you are putting out there? Or are you putting something completely different out there, which is taking away, removing, blocking people from a relationship with Jesus Christ? See, during this Christmas season, God is presenting to every one of us many opportunities in many different areas to be salt and light and to share the Christmas message with cheer and with joy and with love and with light in our hearts in such a way that this word triggers something in someone else and life comes to their dead bones. You have the capacity to do this. The word of God is in you. It's not just for you, it's for everyone. And you can be the trigger this Christmas for someone else. You can be that angel. I'll tell you something else. I want you to picture this. See, when you step out your comfort zone and you act like the angel, I'll tell you what happens. The host comes down in behind you. Oh, glory. You never got that. When you go out there in faith for God and you think you're on your own, you think you're one wee angel, Gabriel, I'll tell you something. Heaven cracks wide open and 1,000 angels descend behind you and say, hey, look at him. Look at Gordon this morning. He's talking to his ma about Jesus. And all of a sudden, heaven comes rushing down into that situation. We are never alone. We don't do this by ourselves. When we go for God, when we step out in faith for God, all of the glory of God comes with us. Can you imagine? You're not just sitting in your living room on your knees crying that night because of loss, because of desperation, because a friend has hurt you. When you're on your knees seeking the face of God, your living room's full with the angelic host. You don't get through the junk and nonsense and rubbish of this world. He sends messengers. He sends people to aid us. I tell you what, sometimes, you know, your wife could be your angel. Your husband could be that angel. Your children could be that angel. And they're the one that comes alongside and just puts their arm around you and they become Gabriel. In that moment, they become that person who all of a sudden says, Mum, let me dry your tears. Let me dry your eyes, Dad. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Tomorrow's coming. It'll be a better day. Think of these things, the Word of God says. Ponder these things in your heart as Mary did. We weren't created to be alone. And when we sing like we sung in here this morning, and I ain't saying those guys at the back are angels up there, but you're kind of amongst them up there. I've never seen it yet. I must be a really bad person. But people have saw angels dancing around the balcony. So were you guys over on the wings here? You felt a little bit of a glory. Glory. And I'm not saying all angels flap their wings and stuff like that. But we know enough about them. There's a breeze. There's a breeze. I've not seen them, but I felt the breeze. Glory. I feel a breeze right now. Hallelujah. God is with us today. I totally went off script there. It must have been meant for someone today. But here's the thing. What is the message as an angel or messenger of God that you and I are conveying or commuting to others, to communicating to others today? Are you like the angel? Are you like that one that came at first to communicate that message? Are we creating that sense of hope, belief, faith in other people? You see, some people, listen to this, I've got to say this. Some people are messengers of complaint. And you're all laughing because that means you know who they are. You know the ones that walk through the cafe door and you run for your office. We know them. Or it's no you again. We know who they are. Moaning to all who will hear, and sometimes they moan even when no one is listening. I've had conversations before, it goes like this. Someone's moaning at my face, and I'm just saying, in Jesus' name be blessed, and God will, and they walk away from me, and I'm still there, but they're still talking over here, and I've often wondered, who are they talking to now? Because I've left the conversation. And that's how complaining works. Complaining takes a grip of you, and you'll talk to the wall, you'll talk to anyone, because no one else wants to hear you. I don't know if that's biblically right or know that. Some are messengers of complaint, and then some are messengers of confusion. Wow. What is that like? They'll come in and they'll tell you half a story. Half a story. Where they only read the headline or heard it from somewhere else or an unreliable source. They are messengers of confusion. They are. But here's the thing. God desires for each of us to be messengers announcing Christ. This is the messengers that God is looking for in planet Earth today. Because when you and I announce Christ to others, that our announcement right there is going to have an incredible impact, effect on that person. I tell you a truth right now. On that person. Helping to calm people's fears. Offering hope to all who will hear, who receive the message that brings calmness to the calamity. Brings the hope of the gospel message into your situation. And what about our message? We have to look at this. What about our message? What is it, church, that we are communicating? Complaint? Confusion? Christ. Look at verse 10 again. First the angel calmed fear, saying, do not be afraid. But then look at the rest of the announcement. The angel says, I love this, I love this, I love this. I bring you good news. There's an effect here in scripture that we cannot miss. I bring you good news that will cause. That word cause is massive in there. We cannot escape that. So when the good news comes, it causes something to happen. And if nothing happens, we have not heard the good news properly. When we hear the good news, it grips us. It takes hold of our lives. It changes us from the inside out. There's a transformation that takes place in every single one of us. And if we leave the church every single time, the way we come in, we have not heard. We have not seen. We have not believed with our eyes what the Holy Spirit has said. Look at it. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. I am interested in that. I am interested in that. I'm scared what I do next. See this great joy? It says in there, Pastor, it's for everybody. And I have to wonder at times, Stephen, why we're not running on full joy. I have to ask myself the question. With the three C's, complaint, confusion, Christ, why does it feel like, as even the church, we break it into three compartments in our life? 33% complaint, 33% confusion, 33% Christ. And what you will convey to people is a breakdown of three aspects of your life, and it will not convey joy to people. What we have to do, hallelujah, is rid ourselves of 66%. And get intoxicated with 100% that will cause joy. Cause joy in our life. If we are going to bring this message as it's supposed to come, it has to be all in or all out. We are looking for a church, are we not? That is all in. A church that's bouncing, bubbling, reflecting, radiating, even dancing, dare I say, in the Holy Spirit. I get a little bit excited along the front row here. I was starting to hear Kala Rabu Shanda Rabba Kuriandai along the front row. I thought it was happening in the back. But I'll tell you what, this will cause joy that will bring a wave. We need a joy wave, don't we? I am off script here completely this morning. God forgive me. I'll be here all morning if I don't get back to this. Must be meant. See that? That's what they all say. Just say joy for me. Okay, I feel better now. Back on track. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. I don't think you're hearing this today. I think we've immunized ourselves to the gospel message. A Savior has been born to you. Praise God. And He is the Messiah. He is Christ the Lord. So the angel said, here is your hope. Here is your news for all people. That includes everyone in this room today. Then the angel gave it with a personal note. And he said, a Savior has been born to you. Praise God. This is our hope. This is our hope. This is my happiness. This is my joy. This is our holiness. Your help for all we ever need. A Savior whose name is Jesus. That is the clear crystal message of hope. And I wonder, what would it take to create hope in someone's life today? What changes would you want to see in your life, in your mind, in your spirit? Let me tell you, church, the hope that we most need to find, the hope that we most need to embrace and communicate to others is the eternal hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put it out there. Put it out there. The original Christmas announcement created hope. Why? Because a Savior was born that would set all before Him, who would trust in Him. And in doing so, to trust Him, it would free every man, woman, and child from their sins and bring to each one the gift of salvation and eternity. Have you received that? I'm going to tie it up here in 15 minutes. Look at Titus. This scripture in Titus 3 verse 4 is, wow. Here, this is a gift. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, listen to this. He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done. Wow. Glory. He saved us because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth by the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured on us lavishly, generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs and the hope of eternal life. Amen. Praise God. Wrap that up and take it home with you. See, when the Savior was born, the announcement truly was, put all your fears aside. I've got hope for every one of you. Hope in the form of a gift. God has sent His Son to earth to bring to every one of us eternal life. The proclamation of the angel can move us from hopelessness to happiness, but then on to holiness. That's the place. And He did for us, listen, we sung it last night, He did for us what no one and nothing else could do. No one. So that on that day, we could enjoy everything that awaits us in glory in heaven today. What can we do when God has provided through His magnificent power and glory all that we could ever need or hope for? And today I want to encourage some of you to embrace that hope. That's the message today, to embrace that hope. Accept it and embrace it and celebrate it and honor Him. You see, that is the last part of this original Christmas announcement. The message was to calm fear and bring hope. And then the answer is a call to worship. You guys can come back if you want. The greatest thing we have to celebrate this Christmas is not gifts of good food. We have more to celebrate than the presence of family and friends, amen? Although we will celebrate, hallelujah, and appreciate every moment with those people that we love, we will celebrate and we will be able to worship God together. We'll celebrate that we are part of God's beautiful family, that God loved you and I enough, and is awesome today, and is loving enough to make a way for His children to move forward. That verse in Titus 3:7 says that through Jesus we have been justified by grace, that we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. To be heirs means to be part of the family of God. Amen. And I wondered, have we ever thought how magnificent that God would choose you and I to be His children? And I wonder, can we let our lives celebrate today this great honor by honoring Him and worshiping Him and praising Him? Why? Because our celebration today is a call to worship, that we might sing and say, as the angels did on that very, very first Christmas, glory to God in the highest, on an earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. Glory to God must be the church's announcement. Has to be our announcement. I wonder, is that your message? Are you today being the angel and praising and worshiping God in the celebration of who He is and what He has done through Jesus Christ? Have you today received the message of hope? Or I wonder, are you still in calamity and needing Jesus to calm the fears of your life? Would you stand with me today? If we just close our eyes in expectation today, hallelujah, I want to say it this way. Come and see the Savior. Come and see the Savior who came to live a sinless life. Come and see the Savior who went to the cross so that you and I could have the eternal hope of heaven through his resurrection. If you know today that you're a child of God, ready to answer that call to worship him, let me ask you, are you doing that through being his messenger? Are you being the angel? What is our Christmas announcement to others? Is it one that calms fears? Is it one that brings hope? Is it one that calls others to join in the celebration and worship of him? Our Christmas announcement and the announcement of all our days must be nothing less than this. So what announcement will you make to God and to others today and all your days? There's three areas of response today should you require as we worship God. There's one for those who have still got fears in their heart. You come to the altar today. We will ask the God by the power of the Holy Spirit to calm your fears. We'll lay hands on you. And maybe some's life has become a little bit futile today. I almost want to get a word for the Lord during this word that there's several in this church right now who are kind of going through the motions. That's the word. Now for you to step to this altar would take a little bit of bravery. Because you might think someone's looking at you and they think you're going through the motions. That's the devil trying to rob you of being set free and blessing today. You need your fears calmed. You can through the motions a little bit, feel a little bit of hopelessness. They're the ones that call to worship, where one or two might want to come and bow the knee here. And if you're coming just to worship him at the altar, you bow the knee at the altar and worship him for these next few minutes. But it's important over this Christmas season that we don't miss any opportunities to share this great news. And sometimes our fears rob us, and sometimes we ourselves in our hopelessness and futility and busyness rob other people. We're praying the Holy Spirit will cut you free today to be God's messenger, to be that example, to be that role model in the world over this season, that you have the opportunity to tell people about Jesus. So as we worship God with this song, I need you. If you feel, we're not going to prompt you, we're not going to hype this up, we're just going to say the altar is open. Our prayer team are always ready and eager to pray and lay hands on people. Take the moment. Take the moment. And don't leave this place feeling robbed, still complaining, still full of confusion, but leave this place only full of Christ. Be blessed. The altar is open. We're going to worship God together. Again, hey, don't worry if no one comes. It does not affect me in any way, but it does affect you. So be blessed in the name of Jesus.